Greetings and good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is February 2nd, 2018. It is a beautiful, clear, and sunny day here in Nashville, but bitterly cold. Today is a marked contrast with yesterday, which was a very gloomy day with sporadic rain. I guess you could say that Nashville is blessed in many ways. Over the last 30 years, we've seen tremendous growth, and certainly that has led to prosperity for many people. On the other hand, growth and prosperity come with issues. Not the least of these is traffic congestion. In recent years, efforts to alleviate traffic congestion have been made. Roadways have been widened where that is logistically possible. Efforts have been made at computer coordination of traffic signals. And these efforts have certainly helped, but with an estimated 100 new residents moving into Nashville on a daily basis, the benefits of these efforts have been short-lived at best. Connected to this are the issues that come with gentrification of neighborhoods, which previously had provided housing for low-income workers. As Nashville becomes prosperous, inner-city neighborhoods are becoming too expensive for many working-class people to live. In an effort to address these issues, the city of Nashville has developed a plan called Let's Move Nashville. I would encourage my listeners who are interested to get on the internet and simply search Let's Move Nashville. The results of this search will take you to a 55-page plan which details what the city has in mind. The city has proposed a $5 billion program which over the next 15 years will bring enhanced bus service, light rail, and other features to make getting around Nashville more convenient. The citizens of Nashville will be asked to vote on this proposal on the ballot May the 3rd. And so yesterday, I sat down with my old friend Walter Searcy to discuss the plan for transit in Nashville. Walter is a member of the board of the Metropolitan Transit Authority and is a designated spokesman for the plan. As you will see, he is extraordinarily knowledgeable on the subject, and I hope you will enjoy the program. Walter Searcy, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. It's great to see you again.
It's great to be here in your house, and we're here on a rainy day. It looks like my levels are really high, so let's turn this down a little bit so we can talk normally. Okay, so there we go. So Walter, we're here today to talk about the transit plan for Nashville that's been proposed by the mayor and by city council. Now they've voted to put it on the ballot.
Not yet.
No?
One more vote.
One more vote. Okay, yeah. So they're in that process.
This coming Tuesday.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. Obviously, it's a little bit of a controversial thing, but before we get into that, I want my listeners to know a little bit about you. You and I have been buddies for 30 or more years.
It's hard to imagine it's been that long, but it has been, yeah.
My wife and I had some Boykin Spaniel dogs in 1983. I remember that year. And you all got one of our pups.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You and your family.
Yeah.
So, Walter,
and then Beth and Joyce worked together.
Yeah, that's right. How did you come to Nashville?
School beckoned. I'd gotten booted out of one college, and it was either get to work or go back to school elsewhere. And I had some buddies who were attending the great Fisk University, right, and asked me to consider coming down here, and I did.
So you came to Fisk, and you've stayed in Nashville.
I've stayed in Nashville since 1967.
And then you went on to Vanderbilt Law School, I know.
That's right.
And Walter, you're presently on the board of the Metropolitan Transit Authority?
That's correct.
All right, and how long have you been there?
Joined in 2015.
All right. Tell me about this plan for Nashville, for transit for Nashville. How was the plan developed?
Well, there were two streams. And when you say developed, Nashville has a tortured history with mass transit.
Okay.
And this is the latest and up to this point the most successful effort at actually getting the critical ingredient needed, and that is dedicated funding.
Okay.
A dedicated funding source. Okay. This is as close as we've gotten regarding any past effort.
Okay.
And it began in earnest about 2 years ago when something called In Motion and Nashville Forward, two separate issues, the latter being the Chamber of Commerce issue and the former really being at the behest of RTA, MTA, the
Regional Transit Authority.
Regional Transit Authority and the Metro Transit Authority.
Right.
And where almost 30,000 persons were queried about what they wish to see in transit development in Metro.
Okay.
And out of that, out of those inquiries, this plan developed, the plan that we actually have scheduled to get on the ballot now grew out of those interviews.
Walter, the situation for those of our listeners that are from not from Nashville and don't understand the problem that we're trying to deal with, Nashville is, since that early time that you and I first known each other, has grown, has at least doubled, maybe tripled since that time.
It's, it has gone from, I think I know when I first arrived, we were under 300,000 countywide.
Right.
And we're now in excess of 750,000.
That's right.
Just in the county.
Right. And the getting from point A to point B in Nashville is really a headache.
It is indeed a headache. The 15-minute city is no longer.
Exactly. I used to travel from Green Hills to downtown, and I made special provisions to leave, you know, like at 6:30 in the mornings to avoid the traffic, and still with all the construction and everything that's going.
6:30 is not near early enough.
So we're growing Nashville at a pace of about 100 new people a day.
Conservatively 85, but typically experts in demography and population growth say 100 a day.
Which is ridiculous.
1 million new persons over the next 20 years.
Man. So this proposal for this transit solution, and it's multifaceted, we're going to talk about all the facets of it.
Indeed.
Is an attempt to address that growth problem.
That's right.
And it's a problem that I think it's obvious just to observe that it's not going to be a problem that's resolved by building new roads.
Not going to be resolved that way.
We've already ruined enough neighborhoods building roads, as you well know.
Even if the neighborhoods were available to ruin.
Right.
You know, it right-of-way issues and other problems just make it an impossible circumstance to try to drive your way out of this problem.
And Nashville had kind of a failed attempt at starting some mass transit here, 2 years ago with the AMP program that was launched.
A little bit too limited in scope and too parochial, and you never could get the citizenry to embrace it.
Well, you picked Bellmead, Green Hills neighborhoods, and certainly there's a traffic problem there, but those neighbors were not going to buy that.
No. So. You know, they get in your limo. Why worry about mass transit?
So now we have a plan that is much more thoroughgoing. And I want to talk about the elements of it. Really, I guess there's like five different elements. Expanded bus, light rail, a rapid bus, and then the tunnel itself is, but also the transit centers that are going to be
19 of them
out there on the landscape. Talk about the expanded bus service that you envision under the plan.
Two aspects to it.
Okay.
bus service will go from 15 hours a day to 20 hours a day.
Okay.
That is from 5:15 a.m. to 1:15 a.m. And in certain circumstances, 24/7, depending upon the route.
The routes, yeah.
What area is serviced. And that's particularly important for, let's say, the entertainment and hospitality industries, where people are working around the clock, and being able to get to and from the job is not a 9-to-5 proposition. The other aspect, of course, is more frequency on the existing lines. And then when you couple that with, I guess, a third aspect to talk about is significantly more crosstown routes. So you're not running downtown to get uptown, to get crosstown,
right,
but instead can get on a bus. Even now, for example, we have a route where you can go from 100 Oaks Shopping Center,
right,
which is in south, southern margin,
right,
of the community. You can ride all the way around to Thompson Lane, whereas historically you would have had to go downtown
first, get a transfer.
And then transfer to a Murfreesboro Road,
right,
conveyance. And no longer those days.
I think there are people that observe that the utilization of the of buses in Nashville presently is not what it might be.
That's partially true. It is one of the things that some of the critics have pointed out is, well, you don't have the density in Nashville. Nashville's sprawling.
Right.
Yeah, but we're talking about a chicken and egg reality in this case.
Right.
You build light rail, for example, you get density along the rails.
Right.
Same thing with rapid bus, or bus rapid transit, as it's sometimes known. I'll make a distinction about that later,
okay,
if we have time. But the density will come, and we know it will come because the last time Nashville featured streetcars,
okay,
that's when the density
were built.
That's when the density followed the streetcar lines.
Yeah, that whole Natchez Trace neighborhood and
sure,
Eighth
Avenue,
all those neighborhoods were
Douglas, you know,
exactly out that way.
Yeah,
out to the fairgrounds way, exactly. Light rail then becomes the next element of it. And as I looked at the plan, and folks, if you're wanting to see the plan, if you'll Google Transit for Nashville, the homepage of this project will come up, and there'll be on the page a place where you can click and get the
all the details,
the plan for Nashville. Yeah. It's a 50 page PDF,
55
page, very, very detailed, professionally done proposal about this synopsis of the plan.
Yeah.
So I say that. So the routes for the light rail, as the plan envisions, would be which routes now? Gallatin Road,
okay, and Gallatin is proposed to be the first.
Okay.
To feature it.
Okay.
Murfreesboro Road and the airport. The airport linking Murfreesboro Road and then into the tunnel corridor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nolensville Road, Charlotte Avenue.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Out into the nations.
And White Ridge Road now, yes.
Yes.
That's great. That's
right.
Correct.
Right.
And I keep thinking the clamor is for Bellevue, and which may in fact occur,
right,
at some point in the future, but not without our regional partners contributing to a great degree to that process. I am Nolensville, Murfreesboro Road, Gallatin Pike,
and Charlotte.
And Charlotte,
yeah.
But then we also have the Music City Star.
Right, which runs to Lebanon, which is already in existing.
Which are already in existence, and we're going to be increasing the availability and frequency.
All right.
We're going to have more cars, more engines, more frequency.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you bring up an interesting point earlier about our regional partners.
Yes.
And the plan that is on the table now really stops at this county line.
We get to the county line. Yeah, it's sometimes short.
Doesn't even approach the county line.
Yeah.
And I guess that the question is what do we envision in terms of participation from those outlying communities?
Well, you'll recall that the linchpin for this process is a designated funding source.
Right.
And we needed our state legislature to provide a mechanism by which we had the authority in our local government to actually address that issue. And they gave us four specific methodologies or modalities by which we can raise those funds.
Okay.
Sales tax,
right.
Business surcharge, auto and automobile rental.
Rental, yeah.
And a business surcharge, tax surcharge.
And hotel occupancy.
That's the fourth piece.
Right.
Yeah. And the surcharge on businesses is 20%. The room charge for hotel and motel is at 3.8%. And on automobile rentals, it's also a 20% surcharge. And what I mean by surcharge, people are clear about it, it's not 20% on the gross tax that a particular enterprise may pay annually. It's a surcharge on that tax. So the example is, if I'm paying $1,000 a year for excise franchise taxes, then I'm paying an additional 20% of that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So they don't refigure it all together. They just start with the present. Okay.
Exactly.
And so the legislature has enabled Nashville to have those funding sources for this.
Nashville and any county surrounding of 112,000 or more.
Okay.
So
Rutherford and Williamson, Sumner fit into
Sumner,
that.
Sumner does. Montgomery does.
Okay.
Wilson does.
All right.
Yeah.
So
the northern, southern, and eastern counties, not in Cheatham, not in Dixon.
I got you.
You know, not at this point.
So those local communities, the ones that are under that or that meet that threshold,
can use the improvement.
But they're going to have to go and do it.
Each one is going to have to do it on their own.
Are we seeing any signals that that's happening out there? Or?
Well, all 10 of the county and city mayors surrounding us are 110% gung-ho for this process. And what they're telling us is, if we have a chance at adopting it at all, Nashville's got to come through.
Okay, so it's okay. Well, that makes sense, really. If Nashville's
because we are the hub.
If Nashville's not doing it, there's no point in them participating. All right. So then we have the light rail, and what is that? Do you have a city out there that's a model for this?
Several.
Okay.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, Seattle, Portland, Austin, Texas. Okay. Denver, and we visited one delegation of us or another visited all these communities. Charlotte is beginning their second
in North Carolina.
Yeah. And all of these communities, what's important about these communities, Denver is an example, their population profiles and some of the other demographic characteristics are similar to ours. And we also have an opportunity to look at the mistakes that they made along the way that edifies us gives us an opportunity to avoid some of those mistakes.
What will these light rail services, what will the train cars, what will they look like?
They look like they look like extended buses on steel wheels.
Okay.
So if a bus can hold 40 persons, a typical light rail conveyance can hold 160 persons.
All right. Well, that's, you know, that's an attractive thing. My wife and I have traveled some. I've used the services of the light rail in San Diego and in Seattle.
Yeah.
And they're very, very effective, nice services. By far the best service was in Switzerland, though.
Oh, yes. Europe is ahead of us on rail in so many ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, the city of Basel in Switzerland, my sister lived there, and so we had the chance to visit there, had an extensive rail program. And I got, in preparation for today, I got on the internet and I said, well, what's the population of Basel? 170,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, but nobody drives. I mean,
they use
the light rail. So I don't think we're ever going to get to the
170,000 community. We got 340,000 cars.
That's exactly right. I don't know whether we're ever going to get to the European model of mass transit, but
one problem is our Congress really favors air travel, so we subsidize air travel to a fault, you know, and spurn rail travel. And everybody else in the world is doing their best to expand their rail services, but not here.
Well, we lost Amtrak in Nashville in 1983 or 4.
Yeah, it's close.
Than that.
I remember the very first time I came to Nashville in 1965, 1966. I came on the Georgia Hummingbird.
And our buddy Bob Clement was a proponent of reinstalling Amtrak service in Nashville, to his credit.
Yeah, he did.
It never happened. Is that on the table at all? Is anybody talking about that?
Well, certainly not within the context
of
this proposal.
Yeah.
But clearly there are a lot of persons who are very fond of intra-city rail travel and hope that we return to that at some point in the future.
I think that's going to take...
Especially Nashville, Atlanta... and throughout the state. I mean, it would be much more convenient to be able to have rail service between Memphis and Nashville, between Nashville and Knoxville.
Exactly.
You know, Nashville and Louisville, come on.
I think it's going to take the mayors of these towns getting their heads together. The mayor of Cincinnati and visiting the mayor of Nashville and Atlanta.
Cincinnati, Nashville, absolutely.
And in Atlanta. And I think if they got together to want to do it, that's the first step. I don't know that they're even talking, though, which I've disappointed.
Well,
me.
One of the, again, you know, our national legislators and their infinite wisdom make it so difficult. Freight traffic is so much more lucrative for these lines. They don't want to carry passengers.
Right.
Especially when we have dumbed down the appetite for rail among passengers. We want to traverse in body tubes between and among cities. Somebody's promising us autonomous vehicles, and we can sit back and play Parcheesi or whatever in the back seat.
So, Walter, this, you know, in conceiving this plan for mass transit in Nashville, the physical space that is downtown Nashville is such a closely constructed,
very narrow
grid, narrow streets, tall buildings, and hills.
Yeah.
And so the idea has been put forward to have a system of tunnels.
One tunnel.
Okay.
Yeah. 1.8 mile long tunnel.
And where's that? It's going to run from where to?
From the current
bus station downtown.
Yeah. Music City Center.
Which is on Charlotte and
traveling Fort, south. That's right.
Yeah.
Traveling south, Fifth Avenue.
On Fifth.
Yeah. Okay. To a new bus terminal that will be constructed somewhere in the Lafayette.
Okay.
In Fifth Avenue area.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. So over
with those two stops beginning and ending, with a middle stop somewhere, probably Fifth and Broadway, or given Convention Center and the confluence of some other things, that's the likely place, although it's not in stone yet.
Okay. Wow, what a costly thing to do.
Almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real money, even today.
Yeah, the geology of Nashville is that's all just bedrock.
And the surprising thing, I did not realize it, but I was privileged to attend a briefing by engineers on this. And when they saw all the limestone in Nashville and all the bedrock in Nashville, they said, "Eureka." And I'm saying, "Eureka, why?" Because we don't have to cut and cover. We can bore.
Right.
Boring through the rock is much more efficient, less costly, and less disruptive for service traffic.
Sure.
We can bore and not even disrupt one surface activity.
Once they get that big boring machine underground,
they got to get it under.
They can go.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a market for that limestone somewhere. They'll sell it to somebody.
Yeah, it can be recycled in various ways.
Used for concrete and for other things.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the scheduling for this at this point is we've got one more vote of city council, which will then put it on the ballot.
For May 1, yeah.
For May of this spring.
Yes.
Okay. I have to give the city and the promoters of this a lot of credit because the presence on social media of the campaign is really evident.
Yeah.
And so they're doing this in a very systematic, way. I guess that's on purpose.
Yeah, we're trying to take advantage of the technology that's available, but not to the exclusion of ground pounding, you know, and shoe leather and retail political campaigning.
Walter, along those lines, I mean, the advocates are out there. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce, Vanderbilt University,
HCA, Bridgestone, the Ingram Group, you know, all of the patricians, as you might call, and all the universities, not just Vanderbilt, but Belmont, Fisk, TSU, Trevecca, everybody's on board regarding this because, as Zepos has said, that
president of the Vanderbilt,
the chancellor of Vanderbilt, just points to right now, for example. People coming in from the eastern suburbs who ride a Music City Star, Vanderbilt picks them up at the station, brings them to campus.
Yeah. Now, we're not necessarily talking about, just so the audience doesn't understand, we're not talking about students necessarily coming to school at Vanderbilt.
That's right.
And we're talking about nurses and people that work at the University Hospital.
The second largest employer in Nashville.
Right.
Is Vanderbilt.
Right.
Yeah.
And the parking situation over there is nuts.
Absolutely crazy.
So they see this as a real solution. So the social media has its ups and downs.
Indeed.
And as I looked at the postings on the Facebook page of this Transit for Nashville program, of course, there's an opportunity for citizens to comment.
Indeed.
And some of the comments Walter, as you, I'm sure, know, are ugly. And
indeed.
And some ridiculous.
Some both.
Yes.
Ugly and ridiculous, yeah.
But I have not, in any of those comments, seen really any alternative proposals other than do nothing.
Yeah, they would, you know, we would suggest that anyone with an alternative would have to have vetted that alternative in a manner that ours was vetted. As a matter of fact, this is the people's program, literally. Now, this is not something that some bureaucrats pulled out of their behinds,
okay.
You know, to and then just presented as a fait accompli. No, this was derived over thousands of hours of interaction with persons who, and of course, the initial question was, do we have a traffic problem? Do we have a congestion problem in Nashville? You know, and even the opposition says, yes, we have a problem
in
Nashville.
Right.
But then their caveat is, yeah, but this ain't the way to address it.
Right.
You know, well, you know, the people say it is, and resisting the temptation to talk about whose button is the largest, you know, we hope to see on May 1 an opportunity. We hope that the council, in its infinite wisdom, allows us an opportunity to actually decide, yay or nay, whether we want it.
Well, the votes so far have been overwhelmingly positive at city council.
It has been. The dynamic has changed a little bit because the naysayers now have an opening that was provided in yesterday's events. But we think that we can still overcome that.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're going full steam ahead.
Right. So just so my listeners understand, we're talking about the mayor's been involved in a controversy about her personal life and a conflict with a member of her security staff. And so that will play out. But this program will continue nonetheless.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The opposition group is we talked about patrician group before.
Yeah.
This is part of our patrician element in Nashville is part of the opposition to
this. Part of the opposition, that's right. There's no you don't have to be that imaginative to understand it. When you have a coalition of automobile dealers and persons not living in the Nashville-Davidson County area, but are paid consultants who have been in rodeos like this in the past, it was just a matter of time. You have groups like the Beacon Center, who just simply are opposed to government doing anything beyond policing and maintaining an armed forces. Beyond that, you know, they don't see any use for government.
That's right.
And so those groups have coalesced and co-aligned, I should say. And there are some groups, too, that, and it's relatively small in number, but groups who either feel that their grievances that they have, and legitimate as the grievances may be, but are concerned that those grievances are getting short shrift while we're talking about transit. And that coupled with persons who feel that a transit program should be coupled with some other, I'll just loosely call progressive causes, or don't see the link between those two. And let me explain. As I travel about the community and speak about our transit program, I emphasize, particularly in certain areas, three things. One is that the concern about gentrification along these light rail corridors in particular is mitigated because the Improved Act that gave us the authority to raise these taxes also contains within it a mandate that the tax increment financing developments that go along these corridors, a third of the housing developed has to be affordable.
Exactly.
Now, that's an incredible boost to the affordable housing stock because, but for that, there is no other mandate
right.
of any kind
right.
to
right.
build affordable housing.
Right.
So here we at least have this to mandate that. Second thing is that we're talking 3,850 new jobs per year over the 15-year period for this build out, jobs that will pay between $17 and $25 an hour in today's wages. And the reality is that right now, the typical MTA employee, operator, mechanic, diesel mechanic, gasoline mechanic, is an African American.
Okay.
So that's significant. So that even though unemployment overall in the city may be less than 3%, it's still above 6% for that community.
Population.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so that goes a long way towards attacking that. And then for people who are otherwise disadvantaged, the net is that it's a lot more, it takes a lot smaller percentage of my income for transportation to ride the bus than try to maintain a hoopty.
Exactly.
You know, or worse, you know, and not being able to dependably get to and from work, to and from doctor's appointments, to and from my kids' school activities, on and on and on.
Yeah, it's easier to afford any place if you don't have to support have a car and all that stuff.
Indeed.
Let me ask you, we need to wind up here. We're gone 35 minutes. So,
okay.
An element of the financing of this has to do with federal contribution. There won't be a state government contribution.
Yes, there will be.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
What's the up and down or the bottom and top of the federal government participation at this point?
Well, there are some baked in assumptions, and one is to the extent to which the federal government is involved in our MTA. In RTA.
They're already involved.
Now,
yeah. Right.
They're already involved. Even with the stingiest projections for what the federal government is, we're not anticipating there'll be any great expansions, but we are anticipating that it won't fall below the levels that they currently are funding.
Okay.
You know, and that's in, but there are. We potentially have other options, including but not limited to, we're talking about revenue bonds now. We could actually talk about another type of bond. But, I like to tell people that had we done this 25 years ago, we'd be talking about a much softer impact on our individual as well as our collective treasury. And if we wait another 25 years, then, you know, fortunately I'm a short timer and I won't have to be around. It's unlikely I'll be around to see that.
Right.
But I wish not. You know, yeah.
Well, Walter, I thank you for spending the time with me this afternoon and talk about this project. I'd encourage again my listeners to get online and look at the plan. Just Google Transit for Nashville.
Transit for Nashville, transitfornashville.com.
And you will see the plan there. And anyway, and get out and vote on May the 3rd.
If you are in Nashville, early voting is on April 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, April 11th to the 26th of April. And then if for whatever reason you weren't able to vote early, then vote on May 1.
So May 1. All right. Walter, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark. All right.